This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
You're doing stand-up right there.
But that's not mine.
Yes.
You know what? Here's what I like about music. I can play someone else's stuff and kind of get away with it.
Yeah, but your stuff is so good.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I think that it is.
That is.
I think you minimize yourself, what people think of you,
right,
and how good of a stand-up comedian you are.
I should quit here.
Singing.
Come on, it's fun.
Well, I'm sure it's fun. Yeah. I'm just saying, you're your headline in Las Vegas.
Yeah, you're good at that.
I'd hate to see you give that craft up.
Yeah. I'm working on a whole routine with.
Oh, you are?
With scotch and a cigar.
Wait, that's Dean Martin. Do you do comedy and guitar in your hand?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You get a little
so
bit of
there's those gigs.
A little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
Hey, look at us.
All right. Okay. Hey, I wanted to have John Mark Stoudy back on the air with us. He is the president and CEO of Riverside Resources. Number one, when he was on the air with us the first time, we had a ton of people email about their company. By the way, they are publicly traded here in the States, RVSDF. I will put that up on our website at bigbizshow.com because you're never going to remember that stock symbol. But the reason I'm bringing this up to you is because gold has really come into favor in these last few weeks because of what's going on with
globally.
Globally, that's exactly right, and you can't really deny it. So the fact of the matter is, Dr. John Mark understands geology in this market better than almost anybody we've ever interviewed in the 22 years we've been on the radio. So I thought we'd bring him back. John, great to have you on, sir. So did you? Here's what's interesting. You saw this coming. You said that we could see a surge as a result of what's happening in the global markets. And sure enough, that happened. Boy, you're the smartest guy in the room suddenly. I knew you always were, but now we have validation.
Yeah, well, I think three things that are happening. One is the interest rates, when we see what's happening with the Fed. The second is what's happening in Hong Kong and China, really important. And the third is what's happening with oil. All three of those things point to gold going up. And so, yeah, we saw it happening and progressed. And so it was coming and it was delighted to see it. But I didn't know it was going to happen so strongly and so quickly. So it's excellent. And it has a good run going forward also. Quite a bullish moment now for gold.
Could you have predicted because of what, because obviously the market has been moving in the direction because of the China trade deal, as well as, you know, we're talking geopolitical issues around the U.S. Did you sort of see that happen? Because, you know, gold bounced. You guys had a highest daily tumble in more than a year. Then all of a sudden the China trade deal came around. All of a sudden you're back in favor for the reasons that you just mentioned. Do you think all this has to do with geopolitical, or is this the fact that, it's economic principles that are driving this? Or is it a little bit of both?
It's a lot of both, but it's a lot of economic principles. And one of the things is inflation. I think one thing is that if we do stop being hawkish about things and we start to do things like that, then that definitely pushes on gold. I think the other thing is that world trade currencies. And so basically gold is not that we're going to a gold standard, but that actually it is a wished for commodity and it backs up strength in commodities. So I think those are two things that are definitely affecting. So definitely we saw it coming and I think it's going to continue to push hard. Yes.
John Mark Stoudy is the president and CEO of Riverside Resources. I do want to talk about your company one more second, but I want to talk, even today, the Dow Jones fell to a session low just as gold surges at close to 1425 an ounce. Now, let's think about that because, you know, that's a high trading range. Like the 1385 to 1450 is an exceedingly high trading range if you look at a chart of how gold is. Since gold is a commodity and not a stock, let's not confuse how it trades, right? This could be sustainable. This is not a fear and greed trade. This is a commodity trade. Talk about that because when gold starts moving in the right direction, there's even more of an inertia that happens than with stocks, because stock inertia can move on a dime with a presidential tweet or bad news out of Washington or anywhere else. Gold, not so much. I think there's more inertia here, don't you?
Totally, Sully. You know what's happening is that gold is a commodity that has to be produced, and our costs of production have continued to go up, and it was really getting squeezed. So now we can actually get more production growth and definitely see that it's a commodity. It doesn't something that just goes up and down, but actually can be sustained. And although we've seen it not go up in a relative sense, now it is, because you can see at a dollar pricing, the dollar's gotten stronger and stronger. If the dollar stops getting strong and starts to soften, then we'll see it go up. Gold's actually been high in other commodities, such as the other prices, such as the Canadian dollar and the Australian dollar, has actually been at high levels because those commodities, those prices were actually low. But right now, we definitely see that if the dollar starts to weaken in its exchange rates, that'll definitely force gold to go up even more.
Dr. John Mark Stoudy is the president and CEO of Riverside Resources. Talk about Riverside Resources. Where do you operate? What do you do? What's your business model out there? Because right on your website, it talks about driven by value, as well as obviously some of the places that you guys mine. Talk about your whole the whole concept there.
Exactly. So we get value from owning gold resources in the ground. What we do is we do prospect generation. We go out on the ground, find projects that have good potential, and then we develop partnerships. We actually have a partnership now with the world's largest mining company, BHP, for example. And what we do is we do the technical work on the ground, develop the projects so the shareholders of our company have interest in royalties, interest in cash flows, interest in takeout of the company based on multiple different commodities, and particularly gold. And we do that in Mexico, the United States, and Canada. So we're geographically diverse, and we have a very strong business model, been able to operate for 14 years with no debt. It really makes for a great way to play the market right now for gold going up. Riverside's a terrific type of company to have.
And I bet it's a great product. If you'd like to send us a sample, we'd be more than happy to run it through.
Yeah, you want a gold sample?
I need a medallion for a disco party I got coming up.
Of course, the name of the company, Riverside Resources. They are publicly traded up in Canada as well. You guys are based in Canada. I should explain, but you're also trading in the U.S., so you're both on the TSX Venture Exchange under the stock symbol RRI, and if here in the U.S., you're on RVSDF. Talk about the differences with respect to the markets, gold markets, which we saw surge in the mid-90s versus what's happening now, because again, I think we're in a stronger position now. Even though everything else is in place, I think gold and precious metals are maybe one of the best times it's ever been, don't you think?
It really is. I think two of the things that we forget about is population. It's become so much more difficult to develop mines, the bureaucracy, the challenges today. The second thing is now with the internet communication. So now any type of problem really gets spread around the world very quickly. So today it makes it much more difficult to bring on new mines and to progress mines as it did in the past. So definitely it's quite a bullish time for gold. Existing producers or companies like ourselves that own resources in the ground are in a great position because it gets so much difficult today to develop new projects, not in my backyard, not in my country. All the different policies really are making it hard. So gold has to go up because there isn't an ability to bring on new supply. You can't react quickly. Yeah. You can't get all the permits. It's a really bullish time.
Talk about gold resources in the ground. I've heard it said a number of times that they've only made two Olympic-sized swimming pools. Is that accurate?
Olympic swimming pools and one kiddie pool, the three ring that you inflate. That's what it's
How much gold is there in the ground, really? Do we know?
So actually, that's interesting because there's gold in the ground, but I think you're talking about how much gold's out of the ground in vaults and things like that, because we generally conserve it in terms of jewelry and things like that. How much gold is in the ground is actually difficult to know because it goes down to small amounts, but really there isn't very much. It's quite rare, particularly in concentrations that can be taken out. So when we look at it, the real value is much higher than people put on it, and also the ability to get out of the ground. It's not super easy. It takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of permits, takes a lot of time. So it's quite a scarce commodity.
I have a question. If we were walking around San Diego, California, let's say on a hike at Torrey Pines, looking over the Pacific Ocean, and all of a sudden off to the right, there's a sparkle, and we find a softball-sized lump of gold.
Yes.
Who owns that gold? Is that the state of California or is it finders keepers? And I'm not asking you to go for it. Just generally speaking, I'm not asking you to talk about U.S. law, but let's just say I was walking around Canada. I don't care.
Yeah.
Whose gold is that?
It's finders keepers. You found it. Now, is it on someone's mineral claim? So they're at Torrey Pines. Hard to have a mineral claim. That real estate's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
But basically, the U.S. government has licenses, and you can get licenses from the U.S. government in order to do mineral exploration and prospecting and mining. That's what Riverside has. But if you go out on the ground and there's no license there, it's open ground, it's owned by the federal government, it's yours. And that's what prospectors have done for decades. Now, if you start to try to extract and go into a big mine and do things like that, you need permits and environmentally need to do that. But if you're just walking out on someone's thing and it's not held by someone's claim, then you've got it. If it's on someone's claim, you've actually, they own it and it's their rights, and you've gone and actually trespassed and taken something from their mineral rights.
This is why we have him on the air. He's the smartest guy there is. John Mark, thank you so much. John Mark Stouty, we're going to have you back, definitely. Love to.
How about if I'm walking down the beach and I find a pound of marijuana that washed up on shore?
And you're in jail.
No, but, okay, I got to go.
John Mark Stouty, Riverside Resources, RVSDF.
It's a good one.
Coming up, James Hurston is going to break down everything in Washington as it intersects with Hollywood. Everybody.
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Great to have you along today. We haven't got to talk to James Hurston for a while. I'm so excited to talk to him today. James!
He plays music. You know, for the love of
it. Oh, yeah, I like that Boz Skaggs bumper music. How are you?
Russ thinks his first name is Bosley. It's not.
Like the haircut, I don't think so.
It's not Bosley. Yeah. I like. Please say, do you like your new haircut, Russ?
I love my new haircut.
I like it. It looks good.
It's befitting a musician.
Well, but you're not a musician. You're a stand-up comedian. Yeah. I've been trying to tell James, I'm trying to tell Russ that Russ minimizes his talent. And people love him as a comedian.
Yeah.
Yet he's putting a square peg into a round hole as a
musician.
Well, I mean, no, you're not. I mean, I'm just saying. I know what your passion is, but I'd like to see I'd like to go.
I'm going back, man.
I think you should.
I'm going back.
I think you should.
This is my official announcement. I'm joining the comedy club circuit once again, because that's profitable.
All right.
Hey, James, was this entire China trade deal a negotiation from the start, in your opinion? Because I'll tell you why.
Of course it was. But, you know, if you bring up something important when you bring up the China trade deal, the talks are back on. Just like in North Korea, the talks are back on. And yet, the funny thing, if you turn on right now, if you happen to turn on CNN, what you'll hear is the phrase photo op. That's what they say over and over again. Mindlessly, that President Trump was engaged in a photo op, nothing's going to come of it. Well, something's already come of it, because talks have restarted in both China and North Korea. You got to keep talking to get somewhere, and that's what you learn when you become a billionaire in the Manhattan real estate market.
Wow.
Because what seems to happen, and I was talking to, I forget who it was yesterday, but I said what he does in negotiations is he comes out swinging, puts them on their heels, and then comes back and
helps them up.
Helps them up a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what happened in every case. Not so much today specifically, but you saw sort of the arc of that whole story with the stock market and everything else. And look, as I said before, he ended up probably going to get a rate cut this month that he asked for months ago. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump playing chess, whoever else is playing checkers potentially, James. We had this discussion before. I think it's sort of accurate.
Yeah, no, I think it's true. I think, he does think multiple moves ahead like a champion chess player. I think people underestimate his intellect and his prowess. But the thing is also, when he was negotiating in the business world, he built up a formidable company, and he had a certain arsenal of weaponry he could use. Yeah. But now he's the leader of the free world. And there's so much at his disposal. So, yes, that's why Trump's tweets and statements carry so much weight. But, it's amazing what he's caused to occur, because it part of the reason that his opponents look so foolish and now look so extreme in terms of the people that are running for president that want to oppose him is an overreaction to his style, an overreaction to his rhetoric. Did he plan this? I'm not sure he planned it exactly like that, but he's all but destroyed the Democrat Party by their reaction to him. I mean, that's part of the reason you see, you know, all of the, we saw 20 people engaged in a debate, and we saw these instances where the moderator said, everyone who's for and this particular outrageous policy, please raise your hand.
Yeah.
And they all raised their hand. They all raised their hand to abolish private health insurance. Uh-huh. A poll just came out this morning that says 60% of Americans oppose that. And so they're on record. And I believe that that's partially because of an overreaction. It's the same thing that's happened to the media. The media's destroyed itself, basically overreacting to Donald Trump. And I think he if that's something that one could use, he seems to be using it well. I mean, people say he intentionally tweaks them with some of his statements. Of course he does.
Well, and at the same time, though, that's part of his game, though. And like I mean, as the dust settles on all of this, it's just so interesting for me to watch how he's going to end up getting every darn thing he wanted.
You think he'd be as effective if there wasn't Twitter and stuff? Because I remember the old days when it took a long time for a president to put out some sort of statement, and then it got
I'd like to hear what James has to say that, because what I think is going on is because I think he's more effective because you're getting from him what he's saying versus having the press
secretary or
filter it through, right? James, isn't that really the case? Is that he's talking directly to it?
What they used to say about Ronald Reagan is that he could go over the heads of the media. But Ronald Reagan didn't have, as you guys point out, the tools that President Trump has at his disposal. But there's two massive tools. One is social media and the other is 24/7 cable. So that makes whatever Trump does, whatever he communicates, whatever he tweets, it magnifies it and makes it basically be communicated to the world instantaneously. It gives him, that's how part of the reason that he's been able to survive the onslaught of MSNBC, CNN, and the broadcast media, which are, as Harvard has pointed out, 90% negative. I think if we just isolate CNN and MSNBC, that would be 100% negative. 99.999% negative. And to his credit, you can't even use the term resilient to describe Donald Trump. Donald Trump's backbone is, what is it, titanium?
Yeah.
It's incredible. And it's such a contrast to the typical Republican politician that we have watched just cave in when there was media pressure, where Trump always, his instinct, being a businessman, working that Manhattan market initially, is always punch back. Yeah. And people get upset at it, and they say, well, he shouldn't always do that. Well, maybe it's better to have a guy who always will punch back, than to have a politician who always old like a cheap suit.
Well, sure, I think a lot of what the brand was for Republicans versus Democrats is Democrats are good at circling the wagons; they always have been.
Yeah,
Republicans never were. So Donald Trump probably knew that going in. He knew he was going to have that titanium spine.
Why don't I see
a bunch of dancing
Republicans saying, "Look what our president! Look what our guy's doing!" I don't hear from those people.
Well, they don't do that.
Well, get out and dance.
That's not what they do.
Get out.
That's not what they do.
Like.
James, stay right there. I'm going to keep James for a few more minutes. I know he's got to live at the top. I'm going to see him for a minute. James Hurston? Hurston on Hollywood. Newsmax editor. JamesHurston.com. Hollywood Nation. Tales of the Left Coast. All of those.
Wow.
And talk about the intersection of Hollywood and business and the economy and politics.
And coffee.
And he's a law professor.
And hints for summer.
And the occasional drink. Big show. Stand by. We're back in a minute.
Ow, wow. Wow, wait a second, man. What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year? Whoa!
Hey there, live from Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on the air. We're brought to you by Prudential. Let Prudential be your rock for retirement. Also brought to you by Rock Mobile. Don't be a rockhead like Russ. Get a Rock Mobile plan for $29.99 a month.
Look, the Rock is mobile.
Oh, I see. Also brought to you by Bayer Advance, better science, better results. Starbucks coffee. Let's not forget Bloomin' Brands, their fine family restaurant. Roy's Restaurant, Outback Steakhouse. Thank you, Frank. Back to James.
Wow, look at you working the mix master.
Mix master.
Yeah. Soul.
When did rap first come in? Was it you know, rap, like
I
true
think it
rap?
Was actually, it was actually Blondie who started that go out at
I don't
night
think it was.
Eat up card.
No, well, I think it was.
That's the first one I remember.
I don't think so.
Well, ask our guest.
No, who did the hippity hop of the hip hop hop? That was before Blondie.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
You don't stop. Keep up. Right,
that's the one. But was that the, yeah, I think that was the one.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Let's ask.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm asking you.
I can Google it.
James might have known this. James, you when rap first came on the scene, you're a Hollywood guy. Do you have any idea when rap first came?
I don't know the exact date. I associate it with being made famous by Two Live Crew.
That's right.
Two Live Crew goes back.
That's right.
But I don't know, you know, because they were Nasty As You Want to Be was the name of their album.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
they,
exactly right.
That was, from a legal point of view, they became a landmark case that went to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Over the song Pretty Woman.
Oh, that's right.
Because they took, you know, the very famous Roy Orbison record, the guitar line. Mm-hmm. Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah,
they,
right.
They sampled it. They were sued by Roy Acuff Music, went to the United States Supreme Court.
Wow. Did it really?
And it was, by the name of the song that the Two Live Crew put out was Hairy Woman.
Oh.
Hairy Woman.
So what happened?
And so, and that was not a copyright infringement because it was a parody. It was deemed a parody by the Supreme Court, and therefore the First Amendment trumped copyright law.
No kidding.
So, but rap went to the Supreme Court. How do you like that?
No kidding. I had no idea. So let's talk about I have to ask this. Mm-hmm. This AOC lady is dumb as a bag of hair. I mean, she really, doesn't anybody else see that she has no credibility and she's just faking it? She's totally making crap up as it goes along.
I like the toilet one recently.
She is.
Because I mean,
does anybody recognize that, James?
The toilet's right.
She unfortunately has a millennial condition with way too much self-esteem and combined with ignorance. And especially recently,
it's cute.
Now we have people who have worked in immigration, worked for ICE, worked as border officials. And she's repeating things that she heard she didn't witness and just constantly trying to get in the limelight. But in this case, yeah, she has no credibility. Not from anyone who's informed, but unfortunately she has a big following in two places. One is on her social media account. She's got a real big Twitter following.
Yep.
And the other are the mindless members of the mainstream media who always broadcast anything she says, even though really they should be ignoring her because what I think, you know, 70 to 80% of what she says turns out to be false.
Well, or wrong.
She tries to have a redo.
Yeah.
Oh, she gets a redo. Well, that's a millennial kind of disease itself, trying to redo life.
Yeah, 2.0.
But yeah, she's bad news. But the big thing, of course, is she is in cahoots with Bernie Sanders, and the two of them have really been responsible for promoting this oxymoron, democratic socialism. That is an oxymoron because socialism and representative democracy cannot coexist in the long run. Socialism leads to tyranny. And that, you know, so we have just this lie that's been accepted by her generation.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And of course, if you criticize.
No.
You're racist.
She should get together right? with Bernie. They could call themselves the oxymoron couple there.
Hey, huh? Everybody.
Hey, that's right.
And the moron.
Oxymoron Cortez.
That's exactly right. Is after those debates last week, James, I have to ask you, I think there's going to be all those one percenters in the debates that are polling 1% in the Democratic debate. I don't think they're going to have enough people to have more than one debate coming up in the fall. Do you?
It's debatable.
It is debatable.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to work it out because there's now new ones coming in, and it depends on how they set the qualifications. But I think there are people within the Democrat Party who would like some of the low percenters to drop out. I mean, I'm sure that some of them are pretty embarrassing. I mean, no offense to Marianne Williamson, but she's like comic relief there when she comes on. She's going to have a battle of love. I mean, yeah. it's a little much, but it's serious what they're doing. This idea of accepting this notion of socialism, you know, ironically, on the 4th of July that's coming up, on that day, two events are going to happen at the same time. One of them are these Gold Star Moms for America. They're going to be out on the Capitol lawn in D.C.
Okay.
having a rally for freedom. And then in my hometown of Chicago, in a big hotel, they're going to have a rally for socialism. They're going to have the most radical left-wingers get together to community organize. And on their tongues, what's making them enthusiastic is Bernie Sanders and his, quote, democratic socialism oxymoron. So, you know, it's just, it's because of the ill-educated millennials, I believe, and many ill-educated people on the left.
Oh, boy.
That they don't pay attention to history. They don't pay attention to what has happened with the use of socialism. It never works.
I heard
it doesn't work.
I heard
it's unsustainable.
Subway was going to be in Chicago catering that Jesse Smollett picnic.
Jesse Smollett picnic.
Yeah,
they're going to pass out those skinny little ropes.
That's right. Their neckties.
Put them around it. I mean, that's going to be a new fashion statement.
I think it would be. I was going to bedazzle.
I wanted
my
to keep
noose.
It on so the police could see it.
Bedazzled nooses.
Oh, wow. You know, you saw this reporter yesterday, right? They got that got beat up by the Antifa.
Did you see, right? Yeah.
And now, of course, the media is saying, well, it's a alleged beat up because you said Jesse Smollett was alleged. So this is also alleged. Except for there was no video.
Yeah,
Jesse
except
Smollett.
It was caught on videotape and it was corroborated by a CT scan that this kid got a brain hemorrhage.
Oh, God.
And a gay Asian was beat within an inch of his life from a domestic terrorist group.
Across the street from the police station.
Who are defended constantly by people on CNN.
There it is.
Who ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
I think the other thing was that, let's face it, also, this was in, right across the street from the police station in the city administration building? Mm. That's what's astounding to me, is that, you know, they couldn't get in there and stop it. I mean, didn't they know it was a coming, James?
I think one cop did say, hey, and then
I mean, it was.
I mean, that's why they're calling for an investigation, because the implication is that the so-called progressive mayor had a stand-down order for these police to allow Antifa to run wild.
Hey, real quickly.
And what wasn't as much publicized as an elderly man was hit in the head with a crowbar.
Wow.
And it at full swing.
Oh.
That, by the way, is attempted murder.
Yeah.
And these people put on masks.
Yeah,
there are
masks.
Ordinances against that, wearing masks in a protest in the public because of the mischief that occurs.
By the way, those milkshakes that they dumped on him, they had apparently fast-drying cement. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
Yeah, they wanted to have, like, to be able to throw them as rocks is what it was going to come down to. So a little scary. Hey, speaking of
rich, and that's going to cause a lot more damage, you know, than chocolate milk.
Sure.
I mean, that's going to really hurt people. And it did hurt this kid.
So
by the way, where are the gay rights groups that always are out there They were out there right away when Jussie Smollett faked his hate crime. This kid's gay.
Yeah,
they knew he was gay, and they beat him as a gay man. Where is the human rights campaign?
Yeah. Yeah, that, which is exactly right.
They're still tired from the parade on the weekend. Yeah.
Well, the funny part is that you have to agree with them. I think they were crying. They were chanting no hate, no something when this all happened.
When they beat him?
Yeah, when they were beating him. Yeah, that's the interesting part.
Peace.
James, thank you. James Herson. Newsmax.com, JamesHerson.com, Tales from the Left Coast, Hollywood Nation.
Good stuff, Jimmy.
Yep, all good stuff. All right. We're going to visit the world of hemp coming up. Oh, look at who just perked
likes
up.
Sergeant Rusty.
Wayne Harding, CEO
reporting for
of
duty,
Two
sir.
Coming up in just a second. It's a big biz show.
Smoke them if you got them.
Nails and Sally.
I don't have any.
It's just hemp.
Oh. I'll be okay.
Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about, interviewing, or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org.
They voted Ben Bernanke sexiest Fed chairman ever. It's Sully and Russ on The Big Biz Show.
Hey there. All right. 110 million TV homes strong, 150 radio stations in 175 countries. Big Biz Show's on the air. That's everyone today. Sully, Rusty Nails. Going to do a holiday weekend, Russ. What are you doing for the 4th of July?
I'll be on the rooftop watching the fireworks explode over the Del Mar Fairgrounds.
Is that what the deal is?
Right there. It's a block away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh? Just checking.
Yeah.
You going anywhere? No. Are you going to park the car and that's it?
Pretty much. Electric bike. Oh, yeah. There's a little parade.
You charge
down.
That thing?
Yeah, baby. Every time I pull in.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you wrecked it. Wasn't there an accident involved?
She wrecked hers.
Wasn't there something?
First day. We went to happy hour, electric bikes. We've done a happy hour.
She.
My gal. And we have, it's happy hour. You have a few beers, and then we drive. Forgot. Lights. You need lights at night. You know, happy hour is usually till the sun sets. Then we're a little, we have happy hour drinks in us, and then we're like, we got to drive home, and these are new bikes, electric bikes. So she.
And last of all, before you get Wayne Harding, what is the purpose today of the Major Healy... What is that all about? Is that because we're on Armed Forces Radio Network and this is for the 4th of July?
Absolutely, Bob.
It's only the 2nd of July.
Damn. I'm not going to be here next 3 days.
Anyway. Oh, I see.
No. Now I'm here for all week. I forgot my other stuff anyway. That's what happened.
This you cleaned it. You cleaned the other suits?
Yeah, the big rig.
Interesting. Hey, Wayne Harding's here. Wayne Harding's the CEO of Two Rivers Water and Farming. And the reason we're bringing him up is because cannabis and hemp have come into play as an investment vehicle. And these guys really have an interesting business model. But one of the things that they've rolled into is the hemp play. Wayne, how are you, sir? Great to talk to you again.
Great to be here, Sully.
So,
hello,
look,
Russ.
Hi. So here's
rolled
the deal.
Into
talk
it,
to us, because every time you're on the air, I get a ton of emails asking about this. With respect to hemp versus cannabis, explain all the differences there, because I think there's two things I want to know. What's the difference, number one? Number two, I hear hemp is way more profitable. as far as a cash crop goes. So talk a little bit about both those things for us.
Well, they're both from the same genre of plants. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know exactly the, you know, the classes or whatever, but it's, they're almost like brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. So hemp is, a lot of times hemp will look a lot like a marijuana plant, but it's has a less than 0.3 of 1% THC, which is the THC is the tetrahydrocannabinoid.
The psychoactive part.
Yeah, I call it the high chemical.
Right. The high chemical. Yeah. All right, is that what you call it?
And then the marijuana plant, of course, has people try to get as much THC as possible, and that could be in excess of 15, 20, 25% THC. So it, you know, it's pretty psychoactive type
Praise
of plant.
John.
In terms of profitability, I think still it's more profitable to grow marijuana. But the issue with that is there's a huge amount of regulation around there, and complying with the regulation and having, like, particularly in Colorado, one misstep and the Marijuana Enforcement Division says, oh, that's it, you're out of business.
Wow.
You see that often. Now, the issue with hemp is you want to make sure that you're growing something that's less than 0.3% of THC, mm-hmm. or, you know, people will, the Colorado Department of Ag or the U.S. Department of Ag will come in and say, hey, you got to destroy the entire plant. So there is some risk factor there. Just make sure that it's less than that 0.3%.
Talk to us about the farming side of it, because that's what you guys are involved in. Talk about a little bit what you guys are doing at Two Rivers as it relates to hemp and such.
Well, we have some really nice, profitable, productive farmland and water, which is important in Colorado to have both of those. Last year, I think the number of acres planted in Colorado exceeded any other state. This year, they'll probably lose that lead. But it's where we operate, Southeast Colorado, is really an ideal situation for hemp or cannabis because of the warm but not too warm days, a lot of sunshine, and dry humidity is important too, particularly when it comes to curing the plant.
And there's, I think you mentioned at one point, the cost of harvesting, or I guess the benefit of harvesting hemp is pretty significant, is it not? Because I think you mentioned, because California, where we're based, is the grocery basket of the country.
Right.
And if you grow lettuce or tomatoes, you're getting
garlic or onions.
$700 an acre.
Yeah.
What do you get for what does an acre of hemp go for?
Well, it depends really on the CBD content is what a buyer will pay for it.
No kidding.
We did some acreage last year. We grossed in conjunction with a crop share arrangement. We grossed over $70,000 an acre. Now it's
100 times more.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was expensive to put in because what they did is they put in the starter, the plug plants, and then they tended to it. And then, of course, you have to harvest it by hand and hang it and everything else. And there's a lot larger organizations that are starting to mechanize that. Really, there's two genres of hemp, too. One is more the industrial strain.
Sure.
A fiber hemp that grows almost looks like a bamboo crop or
Rope-ish,
maybe kind of
cloth
crop.
Yeah.
And they have these big, huge machines that will come in and till that land and harvest. But what we did was the CBD-focused, oil-based hemp.
Which is obviously where the, and this is why these guys are doing so great as a company. Wayne, thanks for checking in. We'll check in with you again next week. We're going to start following this story closely again.
Got the weed, got the water, got the land. Let's go.
Yes, that's exactly right. Wayne Harding. Two Rivers Water and Farming. They are publicly traded on the stock symbol TURV.
Don't be a farmer.
You can go to two riverswater.com. Find out more about it. Chris Tanikas, our director. Jared Coleman, our assistant director. Curtis Matovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our composer, our editor, our keeper of keys, and from whom all blessings come. Russisfunny.com because
RussisFatAndBald.com was taken.
See you tomorrow.